right, we'll just do this microphone. Have some guys that are going to hand out the notes. Do I have them in here still? I didn't even. Oh, there they are in the back. Yep. So go ahead and hand them out to everybody. I don't think anybody got them in hardly because they came through. So hand them on out. Start. As they're handing out, we're going to be talking about it this morning. You know, Rick last week kind of brought this aspect of faith back in, just realizing that, you know, sometimes when you feel like you're under attack, you need to you need kind of bring some attention to it. So, you know, he was talking about our faith being attacked, and then, but he's been on this whole other aspect of inheritance, and I felt like the Lord was just trying to marry those today. Really just contending for faith, because your faith is an inheritance that you're going to pass on. And so that's what we're going to kind of walk through today. And if you don't have one and you got skipped, anybody need one? Oh, up here, guys. Sorry, I was just wanting to pass them out there. But last night, the three boys, us three boys, Brandon, myself, and if you don't know, I have another brother, Mike. We got the awesome opportunity to bless my mom and dad. They are 50 years into marriage this week. It's a pretty high mark. Anybody close? Anybody close to 50? In their 40s? In their, how many are in their 40s? Up in the 40s. Nice. Oh, how many have surpassed 50? Anybody? Mom and dad are the only ones in here? All right, y'all are the only ones this time. just means you're young at heart. That's right. But it's really cool because, you know, I was trying to think, you know, I was preparing some things to say for them, and then I was preparing the sermon, and it almost was like the last part of what I shared with them is that, you know, that they have passed down an inheritance of faith to us. And, you know, just the testimony that all three brothers and all 12 grandkids, at least to our knowledge at this point, have made decisions for Christ and are living for Christ. So that's a testimony. Testimony of God's goodness. You know, you just don't hear that a whole lot nowadays. So, I mean, it's just a testimony. And so, but that same testimony, I think, is for every one of us in here. You know, maybe you feel like, man, I don't know if I can get that testimony. I don't know if I can reach it. It's not about trying to reach theirs. It's trying to reach yours, what God's declaring into you, the inheritance of faith that God's put in you to bring forth for the time that you have left. Everybody got time left in here? Right? Nobody's dead in here, right? No? No? So you have time left to declare faith into this place. And so, anyway, I'm gonna just preach the whole message before I get into it. But so anyway, I wanted to start with a couple of nice, funny things because I always like to do that. I've been on my signs lately, and these are another couple signs that just are so incredibly obvious that it's crazy. So Sydney, I don't know if you have some of these. Yeah, that's an awesome one. I'm not sure you really needed that one out there, but great. Caution, low flying aircraft. Appreciate that warning. Garbage only, no trash. Thank you for that. What about the next one? I love this one. Our public bar is presently not open because it's closed. Thank you very much for informing us of that. For awesome. Absolutely nothing next 22 miles. That's not what you want to see. You better make sure you got everything squared away before you head past that sign. And I love it. I shared this last time. I love this one. Correctional facility. Do not pick up hitchhikers. So I guess they have some problems there. Anyway, I just like to throw those out there because everybody needs to laugh every once in a while, right? You need to laugh. You need to enjoy life. All right? And one of the other things you need to do is contend for your faith. As soon as I was kind of on this, I was kind of on another, you know, kind of like Rick, you know, he gets these messages, and then all of a sudden kind of the Lord starts swerving you in the middle of the week, and the Lord kind of turned me in the middle of the week. I'm going to maybe come back to Nehemiah this next upcoming week, but just felt like this Jude passage really got a hold of me, and we'll go into that in just a minute, but you know, you think about, you know, if I came to you, if I happened to be your dad, which I'm not, I do have a couple of kids in here that are, I am your dad, but if I came to you, if I was your dad, just pretend for a second, and I came and said, hey, man, I've worked really hard all my life, and, you know, I'm going to, in my inheritance, I have left you $100, and I appreciate all the work that you're going to do with that, you know, be blessed, right? So take that scenario, same scenario, I come to you and say, hey, man, I have worked hard for all my life, and I'm going to give you $5 million, you know, to do whatever you need to do to live out the rest of your life. All right, now, I know we shouldn't, and we can be all religious in here if we want, but how many of you really, at that point, thanks, you know, for the $100, appreciate it. I might be able to pay my electric bill with that, you know, very much. Appreciate that. But which is more impactful, this one or that one? Right, $5 million. I mean, you don't have to be religious. We're not. I'm not giving you $5 million anyway. Just pretend for a second. But there's a whole lot of value over here on this. Do you think that you would live differently if this was the case or this was the case? Would you live differently? If you knew that you were in line for an inheritance of $5 million, don't you think you would live differently? Why? Because, what, you would be set up for the rest of your life, maybe? Yeah? Yeah? I mean, the 100 really doesn't help me, maybe towards life so much, but, man, $5 million? Shoot, I could stick out in a bank and live on it for the rest of my life. But the reality is that I want you to know what God has, you're in line for your inheritance. Can I just run through about 6 or 7 different things? Yeah. Better than $5 million, I'm just telling you right now. Can I give you a few? What about you're to inherit the world, the earth, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world, to him and his descendants. Are you a descendant of Abraham? Yeah. You are in line to inherit the world, not through the law, but through faith. That's why we got to talk about faith. That's why we got to talk about faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. So you're heirs of something. We're going to inherit the world. Think about blessed are the gentle, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. All right? The world, the earth. All right? With that, and obviously, it might look a little different when we inherit it, but go on to the next one. Think about this one. We're going to go through these real quick. Eternal life. Everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, or children for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. All right? You guys knew that, right? Hope you did. Think about this next one. The promises. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end so that you will not be sluggish. All right? Anybody feel? I have felt very sluggish lately. You know, well, I need to get some vision about where I'm going and what I have to inherit. But imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, faith and patience. You know, we've had to endure some. Jim Evils had to endure with faith and patience. Although I will say this morning, it was kind of weird. I was over there. Catherine had come up and said something about, you know, me and Tulio and Swifty, you know, getting around him. And so we kind of decided to do that a little different at the end. But I'll tell you what, when I was sitting there, I really got surprised for a second because I felt like Jim, like, got up, like, almost out of my peripheral, I saw your spirit, I really believe, get up. And I just continue to believe that the faith and patience that you have endured, God is going to continue to honor that. And we're going to believe, amen, he's up out of that chair. The wheelchair is not a part of this house, and we're not going to let it stand for long. So, anyway, I just want to speak that. So, inherit the promises. Go on to the next one. A blessing. To sum up all, you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, insult for insult. That's hard. But giving a blessing instead, for you will call for this very purpose, that you are to inherit a blessing. Rick talked about that. You know, not only a blessing like, oh, hey, I'm blessed, you know, great, you got a little blessing. No, this is like a blessing. Like when you know, in the Old Testament, you know, a lot of the fathers would lay hands on somebody and bless them. That, like, sent forth something that you couldn't even stop. Like, they couldn't even undo it. at that point. It was like, when I give a blessing, it's something that goes on for eternity. And so that's what you're to inherit. Go on, next one. Heaven itself, you know, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready. Heard a loud voice from the throne, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, they shall be his people. God himself will be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death, no longer any mourning, crying, pain. The first things that pass away. Anybody want those? Right? All right. Well, you're in line. He who overcomes will inherit these things. These things. What's the last one? Think about this. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them from one another. Shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for you. So, again, now, so we see $5 million, we can tangibly touch that, right? And we can tangibly sometimes grab that or, like, receive it, and we know how to live. But the Father wants you to get a little bit bigger perspective this morning. God wants you to get a little bit better a vision, because I think sometimes in the Lord's eyes, the $100 is like the $5 million. Because in the Father's eyes, this stuff that he's got for you doesn't even compare. Like, for you to inherit the kingdom of God, for you to inherit the blessings, the promises. Now, the cool thing is that the thing that's most impactful that Rick has really spoken for me is that in the Jewish culture and even in the biblical culture, you're supposed to share in that inheritance while you're living. And that's the cool part. I think God gives us the ability to share in the inheritance of all these things right now, where you live, how you're living, while you're living. Not just to the great by and by, you know, till we get to heaven and then I'll get all these nice things. These are things to inherit now. These are things to walk in now. All right? And so I just run to... That's what you're in line to inherit. That's what you God's got for each of us. All right, because, you know, I was thinking about this. I should really get my notes. I always hate that. I don't ever look at my notes to really find out that, you know, every once in a while I do have a really cool thought that that I forget to say, and then I get home and I'm like, duh, forgot to say that. All right, let me just look through real quick. You know, because I was thinking, you think about the prodigal son in this whole thing, you know, I was thinking about that in relation to inheritance. I mean, the prodigal son, the father gave the inheritance. Actually, and I never even saw this until somebody said it recently, he split it between them. So he gave really both sons their inheritance while they're living, while they're in the house, while they're going out and squandering it. He gave it to them. And, of course, even when he came back, he even gave more. But the son, I always call him the prodigal brother that stayed in the house because he was a prodigal because he didn't. He was not there. He wasn't understanding what God was giving him. And I love this statement at the end. He says, you know, he was mad that, you know, his father brought in the other son and all that. You know the story. But it says, and he says to the brother, you have been with me all this time, and all that is mine is, come on now, all that is mine is God's saying that. Like, all that's mine, everything that I have, you have access to. Everything that I have, you have a place to not only inherit it in the great by and by, which that's going to be an awesome, awesome thing, but you have it to inherit now. So what's God looking for when he returns? Like, so he's going to come back one day. Everybody realize that? Yeah? Hope you know that. He's coming back. So when he comes back, what is he looking for? The $5 million? Is he looking for how much you made in this life? He's looking for how many houses you built or you own? I mean, what's he looking for? What is he looking for? And I thought about this Luke 18:8. You know, it says, however, when the Son of Man comes, what? Will he find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith. So when he comes back, he's going to look and see what the measure of faith is there, not the measure of your bank account, the measure of all those things. You need to be a good steward of that. Be a good steward, just like Tulio says, of giving, of stewarding that, of walking that out in life. Be a good steward of that. But that's not totally what he's looking for. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to steward stuff. And a lot of people think they kind of discontinue faith, and they think faith is just living out way on the edge, which sometimes that is faith. But faith also takes faith to steward something. It takes faith to walk it out day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. That takes faith too. So sometimes you got to get on both sides of that, right? Live on both sides of that. But think about the number one thing that you have to pass on down to your whatever, if you have children, if you are looking for children, believing for children at that point. But if you just think about yourself as a parent, you're going to pass something down onto your children. What is it that you're going to leave? Right? What can be the, what's the very, the best thing that you can leave for them? Faith. Walking out your faith before them, declaring your faith into them, leaving an inheritance of faith. And I just want us to, again, it's probably not something new that you're hearing this morning. I just want to, as soon as Rick said, you know, the attack on faith, I'm like, well, I'm like, okay, well, if there's an attack on faith, then I want to pursue what God wants to speak into it, right? Declare into it. And he's saying he's looking for faith on earth. So that, you know, you think about I love it. You know, I was thinking about, you know, even for my kids, you know, whether they've gotten it fully in them or not, but I think they believe that God can do the impossible. I think that they believe that God is a good God and wants a relationship with them. I believe my kids think that God is a good God, is a God that you can approach, you can talk to, you can interact with. You know, that God not only loves them, but enjoys them, likes them, you know. I believe that. Man, what, I mean, again, I'm believing for more and more revelation on how to continue to share even greater things than that, that's what they get to inherit. You know, think about that 2 Timothy 1:5, and I'm not sure if I did put it up there. You know, think about this. You know, Timothy, Ben gave me this one this morning, reminded me of it, and I loved it so much I wanted to put it in there. It says, for I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you. Paul's talking to Timothy, right? He's talking to Timothy. He says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you. Whoa, wait a minute. At first, well, it's not just yours. You just didn't get it all of a sudden. You came up with this great revelation. It first dwelt somewhere. The place that it first dwelt was in your grandmother. And then it was passed down to your mother. Then it was passed on to you. You inherited something. You didn't have to start at base level. Some of you might have had to start at base level. Maybe you, I was talking to my brother Mike. He's saying, yeah, I haven't heard of it, even opened the Bible. Like, so you haven't even started. But that's the cool part, is that wherever you're at, God's entrusting you from that point to go and build the faith that's within you, build the faith that God's put in you. And so it was cool, you know, I was just thinking about that, you know, especially coming up on the mom and dad's 50th anniversary, just, you know, what richness of that, you know, because, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but even my dad, he came from a crazy, crazy background. I always tell people, I never knew people didn't have three sets of grandparents. We grew up with three sets of grandparents. His mom and dad got divorced when he was, I think, 5, and, you know, he had to live that out and walk that out, and I'm just so incredibly proud that he just walked that out and lived that out, you know, and didn't give up on life, you know, and now he had something to pass down to his three sons of his, and that's a really cool, honoring thing, is that, you know, I just see the testimony of that live on, you know, way past. They're going to live for another 30 or 40 years, but, you know, way past them, it lives on. You got to think that way. What are you going to leave when you leave? You know, some of us think, well, I got plenty of time to figure that out. Well, whatever you're doing now impacts that then, right? So don't wait till then. You know, let it be in you so that you can pass it down to your generation, to generation, to generation. So I think about, you know, why is the attack so great on your faith? You know, why has the attack been so hard on in relationship to dwelling place or to the church at large? You know, think about this, you know, in 1 John 5:4, this is why. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Do you know what overcomes the world? Do you know that you can't overcome the world apart from faith? Some of you have been trying to live life apart from faith in God, whether that's salvation, whether that's you've kind of given up along the way at some point, you're kind of just a participant and not really walking in a place of, I don't really believe in it, I'm just kind of participating. But if that's you this morning, like, you can't overcome the world. You won't be able to do it. Like, it's tough when you're on the other side living for the Lord. You know, but if you're on the other side of that, I just encourage you this morning, take an opportunity to say, man, I need this. Like, I know I've been not overcoming the world. I've been not overcoming anything in my life, much less the world. You know, so, but think about that. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So this morning, if you haven't done that this morning, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe on his name and make that a place of the start of faith in your life. All right? So that's an encouragement this morning. But for all of the rest of you that do know the Lord and you have put your faith in him, like, there's no way to live, you know, apart from that. Like, I think sometimes we separate, categorize our lives, and we think, you know, when I'm at church and I'm doing church things, I do faith things. And when I'm not at church or I'm out doing the world or whatever, I don't have to necessarily do faith things as long as I'm doing faith things over here. It's all in. Just encourage you this morning, because the enemy knows that if our faith is diluted or our faith is watered down, we're just not going to make impact. Not here. This is the first place to make impact, but the next place is here. And then the next place is what? Out there. You know, out beyond these four walls. So I just encourage you this morning, contend for your faith this morning. And that's the passage that I'm finally getting to in Jude. It's not a book that people read, because you end up skipping it as you're going from, yeah, what's down in there? But anyway, yeah, the John's, right? So John, and you flip over, it's one page. If you flip it too fast, you're into Revelation, right? But Jude makes this awesome statement. There he is. So Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who are called, are you called this morning? To those that are beloved in God the Father, are you beloved in God the Father this morning? You are, if you don't know that. Be beloved, you know, be beloved. You are the beloved. And kept for Jesus Christ. I like that statement. Kept for Jesus Christ. We're kept for him, right? May mercy and peace be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. That's the cool part. Jude was actually trying to write a letter about just salvation, just encouraging you about your salvation, encouraging you about whatever. But it was funny. It's kind of like Rick. You know, a lot of times he'll come up and he's like, man, I was wanting to do this, but God said do this, you know. Now he can switch it right in the middle. I'm not there yet. He can just switch it, like, on the fly. But, you know, I'm believing that I can continue to go that way if God says that. But it's interesting. Jude switches it. He's like, I was trying to make every effort to write to you about our common salvation, but I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing, like, entreating you, begging you, like, asking greatly, you know, entreating. I was making, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which, look at this next statement, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Like, that's a place of inheritance. God, Jesus handed this down to you. He put faith in each one of us. You can look in the book of Acts. Faith was given to all men. Each one of you, even if you don't believe, even if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have faith within you. Like, there's something that's in you that God's already put. You're not getting it out of there. He's already put it into you to believe. Just call upon it. It's there. He's put it in there. You know, you do have to make that transaction, but it's in there. But I love this. It says, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was handed down to the saints. So we have something that's handed down to us that we need to, it's an inheritance. We need to walk in it, not only walk in it, steward it well. And then when we steward it well, we can hand it down to not only, I think, my own kids, but to a bunch of people out here that I don't even know. You know, that God wants us to hand down. The church is supposed to be handing faith down to a people. Right? Amen? Amen. Yeah? Y'all got quiet on me. You can shout out or say something every once in a while. Yep, there you go. Thanks. All right. Now, you think about this. You know, I just thought about real quick three examples. I'm not even going to share on because I don't even have time. You know, you think about Nehemiah, Esther, and Moses. All three of those contended for a people, a generation. You know, you think about Nehemiah. He wasn't even in the city of Jerusalem. He heard, and also we might come back to that next week. He heard, and then he actually went and did something about it, contended. He put his faith with God and contended for the city of Jerusalem, went back to build the walls, saved a whole nation in relationship to that. You think about Esther. She was in that place. Y'all know the story. She was in the place that, you know, she had to go before the king, which at that point she could have been beheaded, you know, even as a queen. You're not even supposed to, like, it's not lawful to do it, you know, but all of a sudden she heard that the people, the Jewish people, were going to be exterminated, and all of a sudden she had to do something, right? So she said, all right, I'm going in. If I die, I die, you know, but I'm going to contend for the people, right? You think about Moses, you know, he was in line to be Pharaoh, and he chooses, you go look in Hebrews, he chooses to be ill-treated with the people of God rather than to have what he had, to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know, sometimes we can get in that place of, I'd rather have passing pleasures than ill treatment with the people of God. That's a tough, anybody want to choose that one? All right? You know, I was thinking, I was watching, anybody watch The Shack? Yeah, no, anybody like, whatever you think about it, theologically, it's kind of interesting because, you know, God's a woman for a while, but she's still called Papa, which is interesting. But, you know, so there's this whole facet. If you haven't watched it, I think I encourage you to watch it because it answers some really hard questions of the faith. Like this guy's daughter gets killed by a guy, and he has to go back through that and walk forgiveness out of that. I mean, excruciating. But he had to contend for that healing. He had to contend. I mean, if you saw the movie, you just saw this place of contention in him. Like, I've got to contend. The faith in me, I've got to contend for it because of this death of my daughter's trying to water it out and sound it out. And he's saying, man, no, you got to contend for it. You know, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all in there just trying to encourage him. Like, come out from that. It's killing you. Like, contend for the faith that's in you. It's there. So it was just a really cool testimony. But, you know, as I was thinking about that these men and women of the kingdom, and these Old Testament figures, and even into the New Testament, I mean, I just don't even have time to go through every person that contended for somebody outside of themselves. That's where you get the contending really comes. I know we got to contend here, and we have been a good church about that. I believe that we've been an inner healing church, encouraged, you know, when people come, I believe they can get healed, encouraged, built up. I believe that wholeheartedly. But the next step is that now we take this inner healing and we go contend. The faith that's in here, we go contend for others. We go contend for the world. And so that was just cool, you know, three testimonies about that. So real quick, just how do you battle? Going back to this Jude passage, he gives us four different things in this passage to battle with. Or contend. How do you contend in the faith? All right? So the first one is just, you got to build yourself up in the Lord. I mean, that's what I was just saying. You got to deal with heart going on. You got to build up your faith. You got to walk in this place of building up faith. It says, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken in verse 17. I think it's up there. Yep. That were spoken beforehand by the apostles that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers. This is what we're facing. I mean, if you haven't heard, if you don't know, it's coming, you know, to a place where your faith probably will be mocked. It will be discouraged. It will be frustrated. Other people in other lands are already getting that. You know, even when we were talking about Uganda, you know, the Pastor Elijah, you know, contending for his own life, his faith. You know, so in the last days, there's going to be mockers. There are going to be people following after their own ungodly lusts. They're the ones who can cause divisions, they're worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, it's not you, but you, beloved, be this, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, all right? there's this facet of, you remember when, I think I put it up there, but you know, when David was greatly distressed and all the people were coming against him and his family, they had he had lost his family. Everybody was blaming him for losing their families. They got taken into captivity, and all of a sudden they wanted to kill David. And it makes this awesome statement. Y'all heard it before, but, you know, he was greatly distressed. Go on to that next one, I think. Yeah. People spoke of stoning him. They were all embittered against him, but each one because of his son and daughter. But David did something really radical. He didn't give up and walk away. I think sometimes that's my mentality. I'm like, when things get hard, I kind of like, maybe that's just easier to do something else, go somewhere else, be somewhere else, do something else. And God's saying, no, wait a minute, stand. Like when you've done all else, that Ephesians passage, when you've done all else, stand. And reach for the Lord and do what? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. That's how David got through that. You know, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Some of us got to get back to that place where we're just strengthening yourself in the Lord. You've been waiting to come here to hear a message, or you've been waiting to get on the podcast, which I'd like to do a lot, hearing the, you know, message. Those are good places, but you got to go to the throne room yourself. You got to be in. I think that's part of our inner healing ministry, maybe, that we need to continue to put in there. It's like, okay, we're going to pray for you, but I need you to go on your behalf to the Lord. Like, you need to go on to your, like, don't use me as a priest. Like, you got to go to the God. You have to be into the Lord. What you're doing, you got to walk with the Lord, right? Now, we're happy to pray. There's no qualms about that, because I believe in prayer. I believe in an inner healing ministry that God has done in here, and freedom teams and all those things. And I just believe that God's adding that next, another step. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Don't let the responsibility, because sometimes the responsibility, man, I got to find a church that will build me up, or I've got to find a friend that will build me up. I've got to find somebody that will build me up, which that's all good. The body of Christ is made for that. But don't forsake the fact that you have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You have to build yourself up in the Lord. You have to order your life to do that. All right, I'm going to get preachy. Yeah, sorry. let's get back to the... Right, that's right. I just encourage you in that. Build yourself up in the Lord. And the second thing is what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. I really appreciated your name is, because it's not coming to Jim. It's funny how you get up here and you start rambling, and then you can't even think. I'm trying to think of your name and say about three words at the same time. But I really appreciate Jim, what he said, you know, about this thing about, you know, obviously we're celebrating Pentecost today, right? Right? I mean, we prayed for the last 10 days. That was an awesome prayer. I got in on about three or four of them, but awesome prayer times throughout the week about leading up to Pentecost. This is Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt among us, you know, tongues of fire, all those things, you know, for a purpose, to empower us to live, right? To empower, the Holy Spirit in you has empowered you to live, you to breathe and have your being in this place. So think about this, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, number one, obviously, we could spend a whole day just on praying in the Spirit and really what that means and stuff. But part of that is having this place where you're praying in the Spirit of God. Some of that, I think, can be translated spirit, praying in a spiritual language before God. You know, some of that is getting into the Spirit and just intercession and things like that. So I think it can mean all of those. But I just encourage you, find one of those and really enter into some places of, if you're going to build yourself up and contend for your faith, we've got to have prayer. Even if you're, like I said, sometimes people are like, man, I can't even sit down for 5 minutes or I lose track. Well, pray in the Spirit. Like, just pray. Your mind gets, you know, locked out, right? Pray in the Spirit. You know, going to work, going to within lunch. You know, just begin. I just continue to stir that up. I just want to stir that up. Praying in the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a prayer, you know, language in relationship to God, we'll come. We'll pray for you this morning. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit in relationship to that, I feel like that was a call this morning. We can pray for you this morning. We don't have time to talk fully about it, but think about Ephesians 6:8. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, right? And with this view, because if you're praying with your flesh, that's probably not a good thing anyway, but don't do that. But, you know, if I want to pray, I need to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, with the Spirit, among the Spirit. And so think about this. With this in view, be on the alert and with all perseverance and petition. All right? Praying involves persevering and petition for all the saints, for other people, for the body of Christ. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. So I just encourage you, just want to stir that up within you. Maybe you did that early on in your walk, or maybe you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and you had this great prayer language and you started really praying and living that, but you kind of, you know, sometimes when you get away from things, you know, get back to that. If you don't have a prayer language, just get in the Spirit and pray and walk with the Lord in that. Contend for your faith, right? If there's an attack on faith, then that's probably one of the best ways to attack it. In prayer and walking that out. Think about the next one. Keep ourselves in the love of God. This one's probably the harder one, you know, sometimes, right? Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is all in that Jude passage. You know, think about this one in 1 Corinthians. Well, and I just want to say, you know, I think one thing I've definitely realized is that it's really hard to do faith without love, and it's hard to do love without faith. I've been on both sides of that in the last 6 months, and it doesn't work real well. You know, I've had moments where I've just stood on love, and I just have passion for it. Like, you need to just love, but I haven't been able to stand in faith in another area. Or I've been able to stand in faith, like, yeah, this is what we got to do, but I don't do it in love. And neither one of those work real well, you know. Faith and love are actually just married. They're united. You can't get them away from one another. You won't be able to. You even think about what 1 Corinthians, y'all know this one. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, don't have love, I'm a noisy gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, all knowledge, and if I have all what? Oh, come on, everybody got to wake up on that one, right? Right? If I have all faith and do not have love, oh, faith as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am what? Come on, God, I just moved a mountain. Like, I just put that thing in the sea. Come on, man. That's like, yeah, I should get some props for that. Oh, did you do it in love? Well, I kind of just wanted it to go in the sea. Well, what does that mean? Was it, if you didn't do it in love, then what's the mountain in the sea for? You know, I got to do it in love. I got to walk that out in love. Otherwise, it's just for me. The context is just for me. All right? I got to keep going. And if I give all my possessions, that's another one. It's huge. But the attack is on your faith and love. You know, obviously, you know, it's kind of interesting, these next few passages, 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, love. Rick talked about this last week. Abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So they're connected in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Then in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind of, look at the three things he says. Work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. I'm like, wait a second. Those are not the words that I want to go before faith, hope, and love, right? Labor. Wait a minute. Where did I go? Sorry. Did I get labor? Work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope. It takes some effort to walk and contend for faith. You're not going to wake up and just do it. I've been trying to, I feel like that Lord's saying, Mitch, you've been trying to do that. Just kind of wake up, go about your day, have a good schedule, meet with some people, you know, pray, you know, or do whatever, but not contending. That's not contending. Contending, there's got to be a work of faith, labor. That's not a works mentality. It's like, I want to contend. I got to order my day. I want to work for it, labor for this love that's in me for other people. I want to stay steadfast on this hope that I have in me for other people. Like, stay steadfast in that. Don't let it go. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the what? Breastplate of faith and love. That's what protects you, faith and love. Breastplate of faith and love. You can't get them. They're married. You know, they are married. What's going to create this place in you that you don't get hit in the heart and you don't get torn up and you don't go backwards and this, that, and the other is a faith and love. Mix those together. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Because your mind needs salvation. You need a different mind to think. Like the God, if you're trying to think outside of God and you haven't put on the helmet of salvation, there's no way your mind's going to think kingdom-minded. All we are left with is the world. All right, Mitch, keep going. All right, so faith, hope, and love. Faith and love, just encourage you. There's a book out, I think Danny Silk, Keep Your Love On. Like, make sure you're keeping your love before you and on you and giving that to others. Not just faith without love, but faith with love, all right? And then the last part in that Jude passage, waiting anxiously for the mercy of Christ to eternal life. Wait anxiously. You ever waited anxiously? I can always remember those times in our house, the most anxious times were Christmas time, right? You're upstairs. You're like begging mom and dad to get out of the bed. Come on, you get out of the bed. Come on. I know there's things down there. And they're saying, stay up at the top of the stairs. They're like, stay up there. And what are you doing? You're waiting what? Anxiously. Like, what's going on? What's down there? What's there? That's how we should be with the mercy of God. God, how are you going to be merciful to me today? How is your mercy going to be expressed through me today? Like, waiting anxiously for the mercy all the way to eternal life. Now to eternal life. Waiting on the mercy of God. So, that you know, those are just four different ways that are you going to contend for the faith. If I'm going to contend for the faith, there has to be this place of building ourselves up in our most holy faith, keeping your love on, right? And then waiting anxiously for the mercy and praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what I was saying. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So I just encourage you this week, take this home. Take that little sheet home. Just put it before you and say, all right, God, I want to walk in these four things this week. I want to walk in these four things this week, you know, that I would begin to build up my faith. Because if my faith is in attack, if I'm prepared for that, man, that's a good thing because the enemy's going down, right? Yeah. And if you're ready for it, the enemy's going down. Yeah. Now, if I'm not ready for it, I might struggle in that. So I want you to be ready. I want us as a body to be prepared for that, prepared for those times when maybe your faith is under attack, maybe your love is under attack, maybe your hope is under attack, because we need to stand as a body and say yes to him. And so one of the other things I do encourage you, and I don't think we'll have time to do it physically. Well, no, we won't, because I talked too long. But one of the things is this: the second really facet of that is, because all that is you, I just encourage you, take Jude, those passages 17 through whatever, that's you. Like, part of that is mostly you, all right? Some of it has to do with the body. And I just encourage you, these two scriptures, Romans 12:13. I do not want you, that is, that I may be encouraged, this is Paul speaking to the Romans, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, okay? How is he going to do that? Each of us by the other's faith. Both yours and mine. Paul, here's a guy that walked in incredible things, and he's saying, hey, wait a second. I need the body of Christ. I need what you have in you and me, and you need of me the faith that I have in you. Some of us, again, I think we have such a maybe low thought process of ourselves. We don't think that we really have stuff to give. So we come really, and the hard part is we just in turn we receive, which is good, but if you ever keep receiving and not giving, that's God wants you to understand you have faith to give. You, whatever that might, it might be a smile, might be a encouragement, might be a letter, might be an email, text, might be reaching out to somebody, might be going and sharing your faith on the street. Whatever in between, let it be. Just begin to activate it. And I love this, 1 Thessalonians, God did not destine us to wrath, but obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore what? encourage one another and build one another up, just also as you are doing. And so I just want to encourage you. I am going to pray. I was going to do, if we had a lot of time, which we didn't, I was hoping we had about 10 minutes, but I was going to get you to, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to still get you to do it. Well, I was going to do it publicly, but we're not, we don't have time to do it. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to give you a measure of faith for somebody else, to build them up, to encourage them, to be in this place where you're going to activate something this week, all right? There's going to be something on you that you won't even be able to get it off of you until you release it. You'll be like, okay, God, okay, all right, you know. And I just believe that God wants to do that, you know, to give this measure of faith to believe. And then I'm going to also pray that God's going to begin to build your who you are up in the most holy faith, right? I don't know if is Amy or any of the crew still here that they can play something. Oh, got Grant, thank you. So I want you to stand. Anybody, y'all got anything? Yes. So can I have the, I always want to call them freedom team, sorry. First responders. Can we have some extra people up here, especially if you have faith to pray for somebody in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you have faith this morning to pray for healing, if Brandon and this crew will be over here, if you want to join them. If you have faith, just pray for some people. Yep. So there's two specific calls, and then I'm going to pray for you, okay? The specific calls are for salvation this morning. Ben had it on him already. I kind of already had it in the mix of the message because that's where it really starts with. If I don't have a place to start in faith, I need that. If I don't have a place to build myself up in the most holy faith, the only faith I have is my own. I need that this morning. This morning, I just encourage you. There's just this real specific call that there are several in here that do not know Christ. And I want you to come find Ben. Joe, any of these guys can do it, but Joe's loves to do that too. Yeah. So that's one. The second one is what Jim really spoke about this morning. It's Pentecost Sunday. What a better day to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? What a better day to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to get encouraged in the Holy Spirit. So if you need some of that this morning, after I pray and release you, I want you to come find that this morning. There's a level of that there's faith for it this morning. So come and receive this morning if that's you. All right? But I want to pray for all of us right now. All right? Can you just get in a position to receive? Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, God, you just spoke this place that we ourselves are responsible for our faith. Each of us are responsible for our faith. Lord, there's people like, again, my mom and dad and people in my life, my brothers, people in my life, this body have sown and encouraged me. But ultimately, it's me. I've got to walk in that. So, Lord, I pray right now for each of us that we would begin that process this week, if we haven't already, to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. God, that we would pray in the Spirit. Lord, that we would wait anxiously for your mercy. God, we just pray that, God, just your mercy just explodes into our life through us and around us. Lord, and the fourth point is, somebody remind me. Oh, here we are. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. God, I just want to pray that over each of us, that we keep our love on. And maybe we've been taking it off. We've been trying to do this faith walk without love. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not fruitful. So, Lord, I pray that you would empower our love. Empower our love this week. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name for each of our individual walks this week that we're going to be strengthened in our faith. Strengthened in our faith in Jesus' name. Father, I also want to pray at the same time, God, that you're going to put right now, I just believe you're stirring up faith for somebody else. Maybe it's a scripture. Maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's a message. Maybe it's a whatever that looks like, phone call. Maybe it's a stepping out and speaking just life. I'm praying in Jesus' name you're just going to give faith and life to give to somebody else this week. In Jesus' name, right now, God, as it's the expression of our faith right now in Jesus' name. and that you wouldn't let us get out of that till it's done. If we haven't gotten anything, I pray in Jesus' name you continue. You would give us something this week. We would recognize it, that we would walk in it. God, activate our faith. Lord, when faith is under attack, Lord, we go to the battle with you, with you. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that we go to the battle with you. We want you to walk with us this week in our personal life and then in our faith life, out the expression of that outward. So, Lord, pray right now in Jesus' name you would do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to make one more prayer. Lord, I pray for anyone right now that has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that has never been filled with the Spirit. I just pray in Jesus' name that they would just make their way up to this altar. Lord, they would find someone to pray with and just say, yeah, that's me. I want that empowerment from on high to live this life out in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit with my prayer language, Lord. Whatever that looks like, I pray in Jesus' name you would just put it on their hearts. If someone in here is not saved today, this would be the day. I take a step outside of myself, take a step outside of where I'm at and come find. So Lord, I just pray that. Just want to take a second with every eye closed. Does anybody in here just need, we're going to agree, I'm not going to point you out. Anyone in here today says, this is the day of my salvation. I need salvation today. Anyone in the house? Make an appeal this morning. Do you know Jesus? Anybody in the house need to know Jesus this morning? Just raise your hand right up. All right, I just encourage you this morning, if you just didn't feel like you could respond, come find a man or a lady up here that can pray with you. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your heart. We thank you for your life. Thank you for Pentecost, Lord, that we get to celebrate, God, just your Holy Spirit being released in this earth, God. And we just pray that this week we would just live and breathe and live by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we bless you, we honor you, and increase and walk and build up our faith in this place, in this house, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, be released. Have a great week. Come get prayer this morning. Salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, healing, whatever that might look like. Come on.